You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Greetings, one and all, and welcome to the Gym Class here in KGYM for this Thursday, the 29th. Of June 2023. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, online at DuPaco.com. Celebrating their 75th anniversary, learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Got a great show coming up for you. Sean Bach covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. Going to be joining us. We're going to talk recruiting. Iowa's had a terrific week. Another football recruit giving his oral commitment today, and another wide receiver, believe it or not. We'll talk about that and all things Hawkeyes with Sean Bach coming up here in just a little bit. And also, lots to get to. We had a perfecto last night in Major League Baseball, and we will touch upon what Domingo Germán did last night in Oakland, and some gambling news. And gosh, it's a day that begins with or ends in Y, so why not give Caitlin Clark another award? And that's exactly what happened here today. All that and more coming up here on the Gym Class. Scott Udash with you. Mark Dukes again off today. Isaac joining me and in the co-pilot seat again across the way. And yeah, it is a day that ends in Y, so Caitlin won something again today. Yeah, well deserved.
Of course, every award she wins, I don't know. I always look and I'm like, I don't know who else you give it to anyway. So it's got to be her. And yeah, another one to add to the trophy wing now, I guess, for her.
I think she better add on to the house in West Des Moines.
Yeah, they are definitely running out of space.
But we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Emil Sideway scoreboard update for you as well here on a Thursday edition of the program. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. And if you'd like to interact with us, we'd love to hear from you today. And the number to reach out to us is 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And that is also the phone line. Again, same digits, 319-366-1600. Want to remind everybody that tomorrow I'm going to be live at X Golf in Cedar Rapids for their grand opening. And that the grand opening is going to go all day, 9 a.m. until midnight. How about that? You can golf. We can get your swing going, Isaac.
Sounds good.
At 11:45 at night.
I don't know if I would want to start that late.
Okay. Maybe a little bit.
11 o'clock, maybe.
Okay. So 11 is okay.
11:45 is put. I don't want to, you know, be there right before they close, you know?
Right.
Give a little time so I can learn everything that I'm doing wrong.
Now, why do you think you're going to do everything wrong?
Maybe I'm a natural. And
maybe
I just
golf
had,
is
I
your
not,
game.
You're very right. I do have to get started up on it.
We're going to have fun tomorrow. X Golf in Cedar Rapids, 5235 Buffalo Ridge Drive Northeast. It's right in front of Fleet Farm. And going to have a great time at their grand opening. They got specials all day, food specials. They've got happy hour going on all day long from 9 a.m. until midnight. Door prizes. They've got a closest to the pin challenge all day. They've got a longest drive challenge all throughout the day as well. And looking forward to being out there. Going to be a great, great day. And we will we'll start off with a couple of drop-ins, three drop-ins during Spencer's show. Spencer on Sports beginning at 2 o'clock, and then we will do the show out there live tomorrow at 3, and then we'll also drop in with Todd in the first hour of his show from 4 until 5. But make your plans to stop on by. Tremendous facility, and really looking forward to taking it all in tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll also have some, I assume we'll have some KGYM stuff that we can give away that is free that you can come and get as well. Yeah. And of course, you can come say hi to you. So
And Andrew.
Andrew will be there. And I can't remember who else is going with Andrew, but there's another street teamer that's going.
Okay.
So you got two people there. You'll have yourself. I'll be here making sure everything's running smooth. And yeah, but stop by. It should be a fun time.
Going to be fun. Going to be fun. Looking forward to it tomorrow. And always good to get more golf going here in the corridor and the metro area. 10 minutes coming up on 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Again, thank you for joining us today. We very much appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. And started off the show with the... already people are saying, is it really a no-hitter or a perfect game if you throw it against the Oakland Athletics? They are Major League professional baseball players. So, yes, a resounding yes. But maybe from a most unlikely source, because Domingo Germán of the New York Yankees was absolutely ripped the last two outings. Gave up, I think, 15 runs in five innings in his last two starts. And just like baseball, you never know what's going to happen. From one day to the next, he comes out, retires 27 in a row, and throws the 24th perfect game in Major League history.
And the first since 2012.
You remember who did it in 2012?
Well, I went over with Spencer, so that's a little
okay,
bit cheating.
So,
but I didn't know the first one. There was three in 2012. I knew Felix Hernandez.
Yes.
The other two I did not know. So points if the text line can go ahead and get those two correct, because it's not like obvious people when you see the name.
No, the other two.
One might be obvious for you.
Well, not even for me, because that was a one-hit wonder of all time was Philip Umber of the White Sox against Seattle that particular year. But, yeah, there were three that year, and becomes the third to do it as a pitcher born outside the United States. Felix Hernandez and Dennis Martinez also doing it. Third one to do it at the Oakland Coliseum as well. So three of the 24 have been in Oakland, which actually makes sense because Oakland is probably one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks because they have so much foul ground. If you pop it up a lot of the time in Oakland, it's going to stay in play where it would go out of play in other parks. It's a lot easier to hit a home run now since they enclosed the Coliseum than it used to be. Used to be nothing out there in the outfield. It was a lot prettier park then. No raccoons or whatever.
And then I think fourth Yankee, right? Yeah, the
correct.
Next four, that makes it four for the Yankees. They were tied with the White Sox with three. Now they've moved up for sole lead.
So, we can't even have that.
Yeah, another loss for the White Sox, I guess, this season.
Well, stay tuned for another one because Lance Lynn is starting this afternoon and the game is just underway against the LA Angels. Only 99 pitches last night. Very economical performance. And aside from a really good play by Anthony Rizzo on a grounder at first base, it was a gem. I mean, it was a masterpiece last night. And, you know, congratulations to him. And, you know, he's been a guy that I think has been checkered, obviously, on and off the field over the years.
Yeah, particularly recently, even this year with Spencer talked about it a little bit, how there was too much rosin on his hand earlier and some of the... it was really sticky. The umpire described it as like the stickiest it's ever felt and stuff like that. So, you know, and then obviously there's the off field stuff from what, 2 years?
Yeah, two or three years ago.
It's unfortunate that happened. So,
like, we talked to Joe Sheehan on Tuesday, and I know Joe tweeted out last night, you know, I feel good for something. I'm paraphrasing here. I feel good for this, but boy, it's hard to write a real feel good lead for this.
Yeah, it's just when someone has something, it's a controversy like that, it's kind of hard to be like, you want to be like, oh, it's cool that it happened. Why did it kind of have to be this individual that did it sort of thing? Because you want to be able to appreciate the moment to its fullest. And sometimes if it's a little bit of a checkered person, you're kind of like, oh, I feel a little bit, I don't know, gross celebrating it sort of thing.
I don't know
how else to put it. It's just kind of like, it feels a little bit awkward sort of cheering, celebrating this person who also maybe did something really, really awful.
I like to believe in second chances for people, so I'm not going to get too far down on Germán, But, you know, there are more popular pitchers, certainly.
Yeah, that's definitely a nice, better way of putting it. There's some other people that maybe you wish had that moment before Herman.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim reminding us that Oakland did win 6 in a row not too long ago. Yes, they did.
I'm sure it's going to turn around. This is their season. This is the low point of their season, I'm sure. It's not going to get any worse from here.
Stand by.
Yeah.
We're not to the All-Star break as of yet. And yeah, so congratulations to Herman as he comes away with the perfect game last night. And there was not a lot. I mean, it's a late night perfect game. There's not a lot of fanfare out there with it. And it was just kind of one of those, hey, you noticed they're going to the ninth and he's got a perfect game. You better tune in.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have guessed it. Again, you talked about how he was struggling. You wouldn't have marked this game as, I guess maybe since it's the Athletics, I guess you could always say it could be in play, but you wouldn't have marked when you saw that he's pitching, you would have said, oh, yeah, that's the perfect game possibility.
Yeah. Going to get to the Major League scoreboard coming up in a little bit on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. I can tell you a little bit of controversy before the game today at PNC Park in Pittsburgh as the Pirates and the Padres went at it one more time. We'll let you know who won the game coming up in a little bit here. But they were going through the same situation that we are going through here in Eastern Iowa with the smoke and the relatively unsafe conditions outside for many people that have respiratory factors to worry about. And Andrew McCutchen today, as a matter of fact, wore a mask on the base paths when he did get on today for Pittsburgh. And there was some consternation if they were even going to play that game today. They ended up playing the game. And I guess you look at it, there's really no right or wrong. It's a very gray, I hate to say, tongue-in-cheek, it's a very gray area for this thing, especially with a team on the West Coast going to the East Coast on getaway day, and you don't want to have them come back and on an off day having to travel 3,000 miles or whatever the case may be. There were just a lot of factors that went into that decision today.
Yeah, I think the only time when it's like really clear cut as far as whether something like smoke should or wildfire smoke would be canceling a game is what happened in New York earlier this year. That's the only time where you kind of look outside and you're like, okay, it looks like apocalyptic outside. We definitely shouldn't be playing. Otherwise, I think for the most part, they're going to try to run it out there. But there's always going to be a little bit of controversy when there's some affected groups in the area that could be affected by that.
Yeah. So they did play, and we'll get to that score coming up here in just a little bit. News from the National Football League, also not the greatest news to come down the line, but kind of knew it was coming. Some gambling suspensions given out today. And then with that in mind, two of those players are basically cut by the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee Titan offensive lineman Nicholas, and I cannot say his last name, Petit Frere, was also suspended Thursday for 6 games. Former Ohio State offensive lineman, not that it has anything to do with the Buckeyes, but just giving you a little background right there. Isaiah Rogers and Rashad Berry and free agent defensive lineman Demetrius Taylor, all given indefinite suspensions by the National Football League, coming from their latest investigations into gambling allegations. That announced today, the Titan offensive lineman was suspended for 6 games instead of suspended indefinitely because he bet on non-NFL sports but did that while at the Titans training facility. I know the NCAA came out with a list yesterday, the NFL coming down with this today. This is not going to go away anytime soon. And the quicker I think we can get on the books some rules and regulations to this, the better it's going to be. But even with rules and regulations out there, I'm not real sure that we're going to have 100% cooperation this. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I think, I don't know about maybe not worse, but I think it's definitely just not going to go away. I think every offseason there's going to be some sort of, you know, players that get found out that they were betting on NFL games or betting at, you know, team facilities. And at least the NFL has been really clear. Obviously, the NCAA cleared up a little bit. The NFL has been pretty clear. You can't bet on NFL games and you can't bet in the team facility on any sport. I do think it's, they are more worried about something like what Isaiah Rodgers did, which is he bet on team performance. He bet on the Colts running back, like 1,000 yards. I can't remember what it was. Something like that. So
it was a prop bet.
Yeah, it was a prop bet. And I guess he plays defense. So, you know, I suppose not that he couldn't really have enforced it, but I mean, or impacted it rather. But I mean, still, that's what the NFL really, really wants to avoid, is if the team that they're on is involved in the bets, then I think it gets really, it calls into a question for a lot of people, the validity of some of the results, and you don't want the NFL to be mixed up in something like that.
No, or the NBA,
or any sport.
Sport. And that goes down to the colleges too. And, you know, and I read what people have to say that, oh, it's legal in these states, and that's fine. That's fine. But if you're an athlete, you have so many ways to get information. I gave the example before. If you're an athlete at Iowa or Iowa State, and you could be a baseball player, but they know the basketball players, they know the football players, they know the players that have graduated. What's to say they're not going to pick up the phone and say, hey, is blank blank going to play tonight or not? Hint, hint, wink, wink. And you think nothing of it, but that's a violation. That's a breach. And you can't have that.
Yeah, and I think that's what the NCAA is also, I think their new rules was that you can't bet on anything related to your school. I could be wrong on that, but I believe that was the clarification they had. And yeah, I think particularly when you get to the professional ranks, even betting on something like NBA and stuff like that, some of the, if you're a really high profile player, hopefully none of the high profile players are betting on something like that, but they could be a little bit more connected and could have a little bit more information than you or me or someone
walking
down the
street. And they're going to find out too.
Yeah.
They have.
Oh yeah, the NFL.
Your phone. If you haven't figured it out yet,
they know. And the betting apps and betting places have been really cooperative with the NFL too.
They should.
Yeah, and
they know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, they know that it's really serious, and you know, if there's any controversy around sports betting, they're going to be heavily criticized. So to avoid that criticism, they will cooperate fully. You know, if a name pops up, then they'll flag it, let the NFL know, and then they'll start an investigation. So it's just silly to sort of, you know, do something like that. You have a ton of opportunity for you, and it just kind of seems like, is that really what you want to, you know, throw that away for, really? Just a couple of bets on the NFL? Or
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's so save it for down the line, yeah, many years.
If you're an NFL player, just don't bet on the NFL. I don't understand how hard that could really be, but I guess, you know, not them. It just seems easy. Like, you can bet on other sports. Just don't do it at the team facility and don't do it for your sport. I don't understand how that could be super complicated, but it seems to be a little bit difficult for some players to follow for whatever reason.
A lot of people think they're above the law, though.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. They might have been, you know, been like, well, they caught this player, but they won't catch me. I'm doing it a different way. They'll find out.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Thank you, 8186. Give it to us straight. No smoke screens. Ha, ha, ha. I responded with a ha, ha, ha to him or her as well. Before we get to an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update, and Sean Bach is going to join us here in just a little bit. We're going to talk some recruiting, Hawkeye recruiting here in just a little bit. The news today, Caitlin Clark named the 2022-2023 Big Ten Female Athlete of the Year. That was announced by the Big Ten office today in Chicago. She is the third Hawkeye student athlete to win the award, joining Christy Gleason, Megan Gustafson, and Megan did that. I can't believe it's been 4 years since Megan Gustafson. I mean, time flies.
Yeah, I think partially the COVID year kind of mixed all, well, you combined a lot of the years together. I think 2020 and 2021 kind of, in my head at least, are, I think I remember as like 1 year. I don't remember anything different about
them. It's like a zero year.
Yeah.
Also named, of course, the Honda Cup winner yesterday, the Collegiate Woman Athlete of the Year. So if there is an award out there that Caitlin has not won, let us know on the text line at 319-366-1600.
It'd only be positional based. That's it. Like, it'd be something like best, you know, big man, something like that, where she's just ineligible to win it. Even still, I think she'd get considered.
I would think so. She becomes the eighth Hawkeye, man or woman, to win the award. Some of the other winners include Ed Bannock from 1983, Barry Davis, 1985, Brent Metcalf for all wrestlers from 2008, Chuck Long, the Iowa quarterback from 1986, as well as Luca Garza from 2021, along with Gleason and Gustafson. So congratulations going out to Caitlin, who's right probably honing her golf game right now because she's got a big match. Let's see, that would be next Wednesday over at the Quad Cities with Zach. Well, she's playing with Zach.
Yeah, I think she said that she wants Zach to sort of carry the team, I think is the quote that she had or something like that.
I don't believe that for
a
second.
I don't believe it either. I think she wants to be the leader. I think she's just so ultra competitive that she wants to go out there and be like, we won because me, not because anything Zach had to do anything with it.
You might want to get lined up right now at the TPC Deer Run if you want to get in the gallery, because I have a feeling there's going to be the biggest crowd they've ever seen on a Wednesday Pro-Am day. Over at TPC Deer Run.
She draws crowds. I would imagine it will be very busy, if not the busiest day they've had.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. As 1553 with a good question. If you're retired from sports, can you bet? Now, as far as college, I think they're thinking about a time constraint as far as college athletes are concerned. I thought I read that somewhere. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I think if you're retired,
I don't know why not. As long as you're not still involved with like team activities and like the organization, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. I could be completely wrong though. I honestly don't know, but in my head I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, again, assuming you're not involved in the team or, you know, working on, I think even like TV and stuff like that, you can do it. So I'm unsure, but I don't know why you wouldn't be able to.
We'll try to do some checking on that. 0905 says such an unprecedented run by the women's and men's basketball programs over the years for awards, very impressive. I would agree. Both the men's and the women's teams. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 3:28 here on Gym Class program on KGYM. Again, thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it, as we will talk to Sean Bach coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Looking forward to talking some recruiting with Sean. But first, we need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. You can find out more by visiting their website at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock each and every day. And once the smoke clears, you can go enjoy the patio that is open at 4 o'clock each in 6 days a week, every day except for Sunday. Taking a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. We mentioned the game at Pittsburgh that had the little consternation beforehand with the smoke. Pirates came back to win, and they sweep the Padres 5-4. So Pittsburgh suddenly getting a little bit warm, and the Padres continue to struggle. 37-44 now would be Pittsburgh. Games in progress right now. In the top of the ninth inning, Cleveland and Kansas City, they are tied at 2. Also, top of the eighth inning, it is Detroit with a one-run lead at Texas, 4-3. Bottom of the third, Oakland, after getting perfect game last night. They have a 3-1 lead on the Yankees. That's what usually happens after you get no hit, too. You come out and, you know, score about 10 runs. But Oakland's got 3 in 3 innings so far. Tampa Bay leading at Arizona in the top of the third, 4-0, and looking for more. And they are in the top of the second inning. It is the White Sox 1 and the Angels 1. As the White Sox scoring on a wild pitch earlier in that game. Don't worry, Lance Lynn has given up a home run. Just throwing that out there.
Of course.
Just throwing that out there. Boy, I hope Lance Lynn's people don't listen to my program.
Man, yeah, they're not going to be big fans of you. If they
No, they are not. No, they are not. But, hey, that's the way it goes. At the Rocket Mortgage Classic going on in Detroit, Peter Kest right now is your leader as he shot an 8-under par 64. He leads Sam Ryder and a group of others, including former U.S. amateur champion from a year ago, Sam Bennett. They are all at -7 right now. Colin Morikawa is at -6. Ricky Fowler continues his good play. He shot a 5-under par 67 today at Detroit Country Club. And then the U.S. Senior Open going on at Century World up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, as Australian Rod Pampling is the leader right now, 3-under par 68. He is in the clubhouse. Brett Quigley, former U.S. Open champion Michael Campbell, K.J. Choi, all at -2. And Illinois golf coach Mike Small right now tied for 6th. He shot a 1-under par 70 today. So even though he's out there coaching and not playing a whole lot in the springtime and in the fall, still got game. So good for Mike Small out there. And up in Wisconsin, scores are high up there. Of course, is playing really, really tough up there. We will take a break and come back, and Sean Bach is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little recruiting, Iowa recruiting with you, so stay tuned. More to come. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class presented by Tupaco Community Credit Union. Stay with us. More to come right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And thunderstorms are going to be moving out of the area as we head through the rest of the afternoon. We'll still have some hazy skies, but should have some gradual improvement in the air quality. Temperatures will still be in the mid to upper 80s. As we head into tonight, we'll have partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the mid 60s. A chance for some additional showers and storms will exist, especially in the south tomorrow morning. We'll have daily chances for thunderstorms through the weekend. Hit or miss activity, though. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team split a doubleheader with Western Dubuque on the road Monday night. Xavier fell 2-1 in Game 1, then powered back for the 8-6 win in Game 2. Junior Jevin Rexroth and senior Carlos Baez Perez each knocked in 2 for the Saints. Tuesday's games were postponed due to poor air quality. Xavier will welcome Dubuque Hempstead for a twin bill at Ken Sharper Field tomorrow night. The Xavier softball team got the win on senior night Monday. The Saints topped Waterloo West 6-5 at home. Freshman Lila Legislator added 1 run and an RBI toward the win. The softball team's Tuesday game was also postponed. Xavier will head to Prairie tonight for a double dip starting at 5:30.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Updating your heating and cooling system sounds great, but dealing with general contractors, utilities, and building departments, plus filling out all the paperwork, doesn't. Well, hold on, because E&J Geothermal will take care of everything, from the initial consultation to checking with all the right people, installing an energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal unit, and helping you file for the new increased tax credits and rebates for residential and commercial properties. You worry about nothing. E&J Geothermal's got it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM for a Thursday. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Go ahead and check out our poll question at KGYMradio.com. We encourage you to do that each and every day. It's brought to you by the great folks at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Steve Anderson and his team, they've been serving customers since 2003. And we'll talk about this a little bit coming up before 4 o'clock today. Who wins the match? Curry Thompson or Kelce and Mahomes? And not so much about the match itself, but we'll discuss that coming up before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600. Thanks for the text coming in. Do appreciate it. And that is our phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600 is been a big week for Hawkeye football recruiting, and we're going to get to that and more. Sean Bach, kind enough to join us from 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter at sbock, B-O-C-K-247, and give him a follow out there on Twitter. Does a tremendous job. And Sean, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Happy summer, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a hectic last couple of weeks with the camps coming up that Iowa's hosted, 2025. They're looking to get started there. 2024, obviously, this past weekend. And, you know, it's all in the process of me moving apartments, too. So it's kind of been a little hectic over here. But that's good, though.
Well, before we get to recruiting, you were down in Iowa City today. We had a rare basketball media availability on June 29th. I think probably predicated by the fact that I was going to take the overseas trip, which teams get to do every 4 years anyway. So what did we find out other than Peyton Sanford is poking Price Sanford a little bit more than the other freshmen?
Yeah, I actually was not there for the media availability.
Oh, David was.
Catch up with David was there. Yeah, David was there. So, I mean, I don't know how much I can give you exactly from that, but I mean, just from talking with people around the program and talking with people that are pretty connected to the program, there's a lot of excitement. You know, I think there is a lot of encouragement about next year's team. I think, you know, a lot of people look at the transfer portal and say, well, you know, Iowa didn't do enough. I think it's kind of wrong that you can, they compare it to football in a way. Because it was obvious that Iowa football needed to make, you know, adjustments in the transfer portal with the personnel and, you know, how it struggled last year. And Iowa basketball needs to do the same. And, you know, they hit on their top guy in the target in Ben Kricke from Valparaiso. You know, it would have been nice to be able to get Grant Nelson. But, you know, when you're competing with the likes of Alabama and Baylor and whoever else was in his top group, it's pretty tough. I mean, those programs have had a lot of success as of late. And, you know, Iowa's had success as of late. But I think just the coaching staff still feels pretty good about the roster and where things are at. Obviously, you know, you'd have liked to see maybe get one of those other athletic wings, or a guy like Nelson would have just been absolutely dynamite. But I think they're really happy with Kricke and the pieces that they can put around him. You know, they're expecting Peyton Sanford to have a pretty big year. I think they're also anticipating Price Sanford to, you know, maybe get some minutes here and there as that sixth, seventh, or eighth man. Obviously, Tony Perkins would be interesting to see how he looks this winter in more of an on-ball guard role. And then Patrick McCaffrey as well. You know, he kind of is what he is right now. But I think when you look at the numbers that he put up and, you know, some of the games that he had before he took his leave of absence earlier this year, you know, there's, you know, hope that he can be a little more consistent. So I think they like what they have on the roster. I mean, they brought in Evan Bronze, who, you know, is not going to play 30 minutes a game, probably around that 10, 12, you know, 15 mark. Around there, but he's going to provide a lot of solid defense down low. And that's something that Iowa has kind of, you know, not had in recent years, at least since maybe Ryan Kreiner, where they kind of have that rim protector, not necessarily a guy that can block shots, but a guy that can guard down low and, you know, play around the rim. And, you know, isn't really the most reliable offensive guy. You know, he can get you buckets around the rim and, you know, do all that sort of jazz. But, you know, he's more of just a steady player that, you know, will work hard and, you know, can guard multiple guys in the post and, you know, bang a little bit inside too. So there's encouragement. I mean, I get it. Like, you know, not hitting on some of your targets in the transfer portal was frustrating. Jordan Minor, obviously him going to Virginia, that one kind of stung. But you know, Iowa feels pretty good about what it has with Ben Kirky and Evan Bronze right now.
Well, just looking at Ben Kirky, and I hate to compare one guy to another guy, but when Philip Rabracha came in a few years ago, he needed to get into the weight room a little bit more. Kirky's a big dude, man. He looks like a Purdue big guy right now, and complete with the beard, too. So, you know, A-plus for that for Ben Kirky.
Yeah, now he doesn't have the he's not 7'2" or 7'3". That's one complaint that I think people might have. But, yeah, I think Iowa's encouraged with him because he can do a lot more, I think, off the dribble and, you know, be more of that kind of high post type of guy as opposed to Rabracha. I felt like Rabracha, you know, could do that, but I think Kirky's a little more mobile. And you look at the team that he played with last year, Valparaiso was not a good basketball team. They had, you know, a lot of guys. Like, I mean, there's a reason why their coach got fired. There was a lot of missing pieces that, you know, they couldn't really put around Ben. They had a couple of guys that were solid, but I think at Iowa, he's going to have a lot more of those reliable pieces where, you know, he's going to be able to benefit more with those types of guys, you know, guys that like shooters and, you know, Peyton Sanford, the Sanfords, Tony Perkins, you know, can improve his outside shot a little bit. Josh Dix, didn't even mention him. He was probably the guy that we heard most about during, you know, summer workouts and spring, you know, open gyms, that he was generating a lot of buzz. He just does everything well on the court. He could play a pretty big role this year. Both Kirky, just going back to him, there's just a lot more I think he can do. And, you know, it's not easy to average 20 points and 5 rebounds in the Missouri Valley. You know, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's the Missouri Valley mid-major conference. That's probably the best true mid-major conference in the country when you look at it, you know, up and down. Obviously, Valpo wasn't at the top, but, you know, for Kirky to do what he did in that conference with limited resources around him, that's pretty impressive. And I think people should be giving, you know, the Iowa staff a lot more credit for getting him, too.
I would definitely agree. Football, front and center this week. I know you and David both reported, among others, that it was a huge weekend recruiting-wise, and wink, wink, hint, hint, a lot of things went really well, and obviously it did because it has been a haul this week for Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football program for the 2024 class, and another one today. Iowa gets their second wide receiver of the week today.
Yeah, KJ Parker, a 3-star wide receiver out of Immaculate Conception in Elmhurst. A program that, you know, Iowa has a pretty good relationship. Former Iowa defensive back Matt Bowen is on the staff there. He's kind of the guy that's been connected with a lot of the coaches, or handles most of the recruiting for the Immaculate Conception players. But yeah, KJ is, he's a dynamic receiver in the slot. He might have ran like a 10-9, 100-meter dash, something along those lines, which is, you know, pretty impressive speed. And, you know, he'll have to put on more weight, but he's pretty good fit for what Iowa wants in the slot. Receivers can get good separation at the line of scrimmage, you know, can make plays in the open field. I know he had a big state championship game earlier this year. And he is a very dynamic player. You know, I'm a little surprised that more schools didn't really go after him. I know Cincinnati was pushing for him towards the end, but he had a couple early offers too. I mean, Iowa State had offered him, Wisconsin, the old Wisconsin staff had offered him. And he's a really good fit for what Iowa needs and what Iowa wants. I mean, I wrote this earlier today. They've really done a good job of building the wide receiver room in the last couple of cycles. I know, you know, missing out on some of their big X receivers in the last cycle, Kyler Casper being the main one, you know, that kind of stung a little bit, but they got a pretty good replacement in Dayton Howard, who I know the staff is high on and how he can develop. They have Alex Moda from Marion, who, you know, is a little bit raw from a receiver standpoint, but you can't teach his speed. Then they get Jarrett Bowie from Tampa Jesuit, who is, you know, a good combination of size and speed. He has NFL bloodlines. There's a lot to like about this group. I mean, Reese Vanderzee as well from, you know, Central Lyon. He is a very good functional athlete, great size, like 6'4", 190, might be pushing 6'5", depending on who you ask. But, you know, it's just a good complementary fix of guys. And I think with Iowa football, one thing they have to mention is, you know, you want to build your roster with the high school, you know, recruiting. but you can also bolster it, as Brian Ferentz always says, with the transfer portal. And I think Iowa, for, you know, it's good to see that they're not a program that relies solely on the portal. Obviously, you know, they're going to use it in the future to, you know, fill different holes like they did this past offseason. But I think for, you know, the level that they've recruited and the type of players they've recruited, they've really done a good job in these last couple of cycles of, you know, really focusing on the high school ranks and getting the type of, you know, high floor guys that, you know, Iowa has had so much success with in the past. And, you know, I was looking at the 2023 class yesterday and I was like, I can't really find a weak spot. You know, obviously there's going to be guys that not hit, but that don't hit, but, you know, it's really hard for me to see where, you know, there is a guy that won't hit, because I feel like they all have capabilities to eventually see the field and make an impact. And I think with this 2024 class, you're looking at a pretty similar thing too.
Very much so. Sean Bach joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Second, we mentioned Parker's the second wide receiver. You mentioned the first one. Iowa gets three guys from Central Lyon, George Little Rock. LeVar Woods, he's big up there in Lyon County. So that's kind of his area anyway. And being on the field for, I think, about a quarter of their championship game against Williamsburg, there are a lot of big dudes in Lyon County. Just kind of talk about that young man and then the others that Iowa has got commitments from this week.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned with Vanderzee, he actually caught the touchdown in the state championship game that came from Zach Lupfer, the quarterback, who is now a safety at Iowa. So him, Vanderzee, Lupfer, and Graham Eben, I always get him confused with his dad. I always call him Curtis because he's the head coach at Central Lyon, but Graham Eben is the one going to Iowa. Really close friends. I think, you know, it was pretty close battle between Iowa and Iowa State for Vanderzee, depending on who you talk to. I know I talked to a few people around Central Lyon, and they were saying that Iowa State was really, you know, making a big impression on Reese. And obviously I know a lot of people projected Reese to, you know, kind of go to Iowa after that offer, but you can't really go wrong with Iowa State's recent receiver success as well. And, you know, that was really appealing to Reese. It's closer to home too. But, you know, I think Iowa really hit a home run this past weekend with getting those guys on campus together and, you know, pairing them with Zach. And, you know, it ended up working out. But, yeah, Vanderzee, as I mentioned, was one of the leading scorers for Central Lyon State basketball championship team this winter, along with Lutmer. But Vanderzee's got great size for the position. He's, you know, a pretty good functional athlete. I think he's a four-sport athlete with football, basketball, track and baseball. He doesn't have the fastball that Brody Breck did, so I don't think people are gonna have to worry about you know, him potentially going to the MLB, but he's a really good athlete, and you know, you can't go wrong with those types of guys. And with Eden, you know, they took him as a walk-on, but this is one of those things where you got to give credit to the Iowa Swarm, because with these walk-ons, you know, they're not paying the whole way. You know, the Swarm really helps them out and, you know, gets these guys some money to, you know, pay for college. And Eden had a lot of good options in the FCS ranks. He had North Dakota State, South Dakota State, South Dakota was really involved. Eastern Michigan had offered. And he fits at that kind of safety spot. He'll probably grow into a will linebacker, a cash linebacker, or a cash, you know, the hybrid linebacker position. That's probably where he'll see best fit. But he's just a productive football player. I mean, I know Lutmer got a lot of the shine last year, but Graham ran for like 14 or 1,300 yards, you know, also made a couple of plays on defense too. So, and those are the types of guys you want to get in the class. I mean, look at some of these guys from South Dakota State, you know, that have really turned. I mean, Adam Bach from Solon, no relation there, but, you know, he was a really good football player at Solon, went to South Dakota State. You know, it was really, you know, turned out a really good career for him. I mean, Tucker Kraft, I don't remember how involved Iowa was with him out of high school, but, you know, he's in the NFL now with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, you can kind of steal from those FCS schools. I mean, Iowa did it in the past cycle, too. Two guys from Cedar Rapids, Watts McBride and Aiden McDermott. Those guys had FCS full ride offers, but instead wanted to walk on at Iowa. And, you know, the Swarm played a big part in that. And, you know, you can't go wrong with Iowa's player development. And, you know, I think Graham is a guy that, you know, is just going to do what's asked and will probably be, you know, in the mix to eventually get a spot in a couple years. I know the staff really likes him and, you know, just really likes how much of a productive football player he was. So, yeah, those two guys are, you know, the center line guys. Obviously, Zach coming in as a freshman. He's on campus now. He's a freak athlete, probably going to be in that one of those safety positions. Not sure if he's going to be strong or free. Kind of strikes me as a free safety a little bit. But, you know, Iowa loves his athleticism and, you know, his attention to detail. And he was probably a little more raw than some of the other guys. But, you know, I think you can't go wrong with, you know, athleticism. And they do a great job of central line. They have great weight program, great coaching staff, guys that have been there for a bit. And, you know, those are the types of kids that you really can't go wrong with. All great kids and, you know, will fit in really well at Iowa.
Before we let you go here, you wrote about what Iowa still needs for the class of 2024. And just kind of give us a little bit of a synopsis about your thoughts about that.
Yeah, they might go after one receiver. I know they have Jaquan Reed from Miami Southridge visiting in the fall for an official visit. There's two more defensive linemen from the 2024 class that visited this past weekend that are, you know, making decisions here soon. Joseph Anderson, who Iowa is battling Nebraska for, and then Shima Shinike, who Iowa is going up against Vanderbilt, Kansas, and Oklahoma State for. Those are two guys that Kelvin Bell really wants. And then the secondary position, too, Jalen Watson, a three-star defensive back from Ohio who's from Michigan, which is Phil Parker's territory. Iowa's in the driver's seats there. And then Rashad Goffrey, who also was on campus this weekend with Xavier Lucas. Seems like Iowa's really trending for Godfrey, but Lucas really likes Wisconsin and Florida State right now. And, you know, I could see Iowa going after a specialist too, likely a walk-on. I know that there's a couple options that they like at the punter position, which will be a need. And I bet they go to the portal, too, during the off season, but that's a discussion for another day. But, yeah, this class is really filling up nicely. And, you know, it's been really impressive to see, you know, Kirk seems to still be in his prime when it comes to recruiting. They have done a fantastic job in the last couple of cycles building these guys and, you know, really, I guess, adapting to the transfer portal. I know a lot of people are going to be hurt by, you know, the loss of Caden Proctor because he would have made a year one impact. But I think, you know, what they have in the class moving forward and what they have in the transfer portal to, you know, eventually fill those different spots is going to be really important moving forward. And, you know, Iowa's in a good place. It's going to be an exciting season. You know, I'm excited to see what comes about and, you know, how kind of the portal shakes up and, you know, how things go. And, you know, it's the class. I mean, people should be really excited about these two classes. And, you know, 2024 especially, it's still cooking up a little bit, but it's definitely trending in a positive direction.
Yep, and already looking at 25 down the line here, and
yeah,
especially the big man here in town.
He is a big boy. I went to go see him a couple weeks ago, and he is he's all 6'8", 340 or whatever he is.
Yep, Nick Brooks over at Kennedy. Sean, are you getting sleep now with the speaker situation in the apartment?
Yeah, I actually moved. This is my last night in this one, and then I'm moving out to Tiffin. So hopefully it's a little more quiet out there.
I hope so. I hope you get some sleep out there. Hey, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we'll keep following and reading your information and David's at 24/7 Sports. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Sean Bach, give him a follow on Twitter at SBach247. And does a tremendous job with that organization. Quick break, come back, and we'll wrap things up for a Thursday here in the gym class on KGYM.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
The gym class is coming to you live from the grand opening of X Golf in Cedar Rapids tomorrow from 2 to 5. We'll see you there near the corner of Collins and Edgewood.
You betcha we will. We'll be there, and that will be from 2 until 5. We'll broadcast the gym class live from 3 to 4 at X-Golf, 5235 Buffalo Ridge Drive Northeast, right in front of Fleet Farm. And going to have a great time out there. They're open at 9 o'clock. Stop on by. Get there early. They've got some great specials throughout the day, some great contests as well, and we'll have more information for you coming up tomorrow. Speaking of golf, Isaac, the match is tonight between two basketball players and two of my Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I wonder who you're rooting for. I guess if you are rooting for anyone.
I'm indifferent about this because we talked about this yesterday with Hard Knocks, or Tuesday with Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Is it almost to the point of, okay, has this thing jumped the shark a little bit? Because now we don't even have golfers associated with it. You had, you know, in the past, you had Tiger, you had Phil, you had Charles Barkley, you had Brady.
Rogers.
Now we've kind of got this thing, and it's kind of the live edition because it's only 12 holes. I don't know.
At least they have some personalities, I guess, is what they're more going for now. They're not going so much to focus on the golf. I think they're focusing on Travis Kelce, obviously, is one of the, biggest personalities, if not the biggest personalities in the NFL. Steph has his own personality. I don't know. I think it should still be pretty entertaining. Particularly, they chose a good day where there's not a ton going on right now, so a lot of people will just tune in just to kind of see what's on it and stuff like that.
It's, you got to think Curry and Thompson are the heavy, heavy favorites because Steph can play.
Yeah, I just say because Curry's really doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that one. Not that Mahomes is bad or anything, but we know that Curry is in a different level, I think, than anyone else there. It will come down to if Klay Thompson can pick up something.
Can do anything.
Can hold up just a little bit. Tread water, I guess.
Well, Kelce and Mahomes have been working on their games. They've been playing in the Celebrity at the Lake Tahoe for the last handful of years.
I know Mahomes. Didn't he do it last year? I believe. I think.
Out at Tahoe?
No. Was he on the match? Or he did some golf thing
last year. He did a couple Celebrity events.
Yeah, okay. So I know Mahomes has done some golf stuff. It'll come to really.
He's a little better than Travis.
I would imagine he's a little better than Travis. It'll come down to Klay Thompson and Travis, I think.
I don't know. Probably tune in a little bit.
Just for the show of it, I guess. And again, Travis Kelce is so entertaining, you know, might as well.
He'll
probably have a couple lines in there that'll, you know, go viral, be kind of funny, get a chuckle.
I just hope doesn't do anything to get suspended.
I think he's lucky he's got Mahomes there to kind of police him a little bit. I think he'll be able to, if he sees Travis going off the deep end a little bit, he'll be able to steer him right back on course there.
And Lance Lynn's given up 4 through 2 innings. So right on target right now.
As
but it's
expected.
Only 4-3, though.
Still got a chance. Don't count him out yet.
Still 4-3. All right. Isaac, we will talk tomorrow. I will be out at X Golf, and you will be here. But we'll put together a fantastic show and a lot of golf talk. And again, stop on by X Golf tomorrow. We'll be there from 2 until 5. Stop by, say hi, and see all the great things that they have out there at their grand opening. So have a good night.
Yeah, you as well.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show comes your way next from 4 until 6. And have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you at X Golf tomorrow.
With summer in full swing, now's the perfect time to head to the ballpark. Score great deals on great seats from our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Every crack of the bat, every dive.